Welcome to the Hormones in Harmony podcast. I'm your host, Vivian Allred, former chronic illness sufferer turned trusted health practitioner. My passion is helping people to identify and address the root causes of their symptoms through my online business, Viva Natural Health. If you're struggling with confusing or stubborn symptoms that just won't go away despite your best efforts, then you're in the right place. If I can heal from a long list of symptoms and conditions, including cystic acne, hair loss, severe food reactions, and brain fog, then you can heal too. Stay tuned for weekly episodes that share expert guest interviews, Q&A, and solo episodes that are all intended to help you wherever you're at on your healing journey. The information shared on this podcast is intended for educational purposes only, and is not designed to replace the advice of your health practitioner. That said, let's get into today's episode. Hello, welcome back to the podcast, everyone. If I look hot and sweaty on video, it's because I've just been sat in the garden. I have to make the most of this nice weather that we've had over the past few days in England, because up until now, summer has been pretty terrible weather-wise. Life-wise, pretty good, but weather-wise, it has honestly felt like winter some days with the amount of rain, how cold it's been, just so miserable and dark. So as soon as that sun came out, I was in my garden on my sun lounger. I've been working, don't worry, I'm not just casually like sunbathing on a Monday afternoon, although that wouldn't be a problem if I was. I have just been enjoying my garden because this is one of the main reasons that I wanted to get a house and to get out of my flat, is because I appreciate being outside so much. I love the sunlight, getting my vitamin D. I know all of the benefits. If you can hear whistling in the background, that's my dad. He's actually doing the garden. And yeah, he's having the time of his life. He's just chased the ice cream man down the street. That was a pretty fun sight to watch. But today's episode is on the root causes of disease. I really wanted to get this episode out to you, and it's because it's going to be like a general overview, because I do believe that some people are lucky enough to just switch their diet up, eat a bit healthier, and the skin issues go away, or they just need to go to bed a bit earlier and the fatigue issues go away. But I'm guessing if you're listening to this, or if you're one of my clients, or yeah, you're listening to podcasts about health, that's probably not you. That's why you're searching and still seeking, is because you're doing, quote, all the right things, you're doing it all, and you still feel bad, you're still struggling with symptoms. That's where I come in, and this is the type of work that I do with my clients. And there might be some simple things that you are overlooking. Some people do look over hydration, they look over the stress management aspect, but if you honestly feel like you're doing all of that and there's still something off, or sometimes it's that combined with some of this deeper work. For example, if you're trying to manage your stress every day, but you have this chronic hidden stressor inside, and these are all of the things that I'm going to be talking about, because stress is this umbrella term. So these are not only the root causes of disease, in my opinion, but also the big hidden stressors in the body. So that crosses over. So yeah, you could be doing all of the meditation every day, doing this huge elaborate morning routine, but if you haven't addressed some of these things, that's probably why it's not working. Or it helps you, but for the rest of the day, you're still stressed and anxious and running around like a headless chicken, because some of the imbalances in your gut, for example, can affect your neurotransmitters. So that's why it's not 100% effective. So it may be that you need to address some of the basics still, and you're just looking too deep into other things. Maybe it's you need to do more of the basic stuff, but it could be that you need to do the basic stuff along with some of this deeper work for the full resolution of your health issues. So the symptoms that could be as a result of all of these things, we're going to go through each one. I would say that there are five root causes, or five hidden stressors, when it comes to dis-ease or disease, whatever you want to call it, and it can manifest in many different ways. So we're going to go through each one. I'm going to cover some common symptoms that you may be experiencing, and it will probably be a bit repetitive because they can cross over, but I'll give you some kind of telltale or pinpoint symptoms and signs to look out for, or events in your health history that might put you at risk of some of these things, and how these things cause disease and how they cause imbalance in the body. and a little bit about what you could do for each of them. But I do have episodes on each of these individually over the past few years, so you can always search and go deeper for that. Or if you want me to do another episode, like a recap again on each one, I could definitely do that. So let me know, send me a DM. If you're enjoying the podcast, this episode, you think there's someone that you know could benefit from it, please send that, forward it on, or you can take a screenshot of you listening to it now, put it on social media, tag me. I would love to see you and what you're listening to, which episode, and if you're loving it. Anyway, let's get into the five causes of chronic disease. So the first one, this is in no particular order as well, is chronic infections. So these are infections that often go under the radar. They're called stealth infections. They're very sneaky, and they survive that way. So they go under the detection radar and cause a lot of problems, and they suppress our own immune system a lot of the time, so we can't even fight them off. That's how intelligent they are. They can morph, they can change, they can, if you think back to the whole COVID virus, I don't want to say it to flag all of these episodes, because they'll probably get taken down. But the reason that it became such a problem is because it kept mutating, and there were all of these different variants. And with these infections, sometimes it's not even the bug that's the problem. It's our immune response to that. It's the same with the CV virus. It wasn't the virus necessarily that was the problem. It was our body, because it was this new thing that we've never had before, and potentially a man-made artificial thing, bit of a conspiracy, but yeah, I think there's some truth in that. It's our own immune system response that was causing the problems. It was causing the fever, the pain. My main symptoms were body pain and fatigue. I didn't really have the respiratory stuff because I got mine a little bit later, but that was my own immune system going a little bit crazy. And that's what it should do. It should have a reaction, give it a few days, your body mounts this fever to try and kill off the bug, and then it should calm down. It's when that doesn't stop, that fever, that inflammation doesn't stop, or it's when your body doesn't even mount a response, a strong response to it, and you're still having issues, but it's just at this lower grade level. So you're not having massive like cold flu symptoms or viral symptoms or fever, but you're having chronic fatigue, chronic digestive issues, chronic skin issues instead. So it's just triggering, and it's just this low grade inflammation, low grade fire in the body that is still causing problems, but it's just like it's draining your battery, as opposed to it's this huge fire that needs to be dealt with right away. So the top chronic infections to consider, there are smaller, quote, smaller ones like SIBO, small intestine bacterial overgrowth, or CIFO, small intestine fungal overgrowth. But they usually go alongside other things, in my opinion. So I would be looking deeper at things like parasites. And there is always a further back root with all of these. So even though I'm calling it a root cause, with something like parasites, it can be a root cause. Someone may just need to get rid of the parasites, and then all of the symptoms improve. However, we have to also look back, why do they have parasites in the first place? So it's not necessarily the first step. We have to look what was going on around the time of exposure. Were you really run down because you were working too hard? Had you already had some sort of high toxic load? Had you recently been on antibiotics that affected your gut microbiome and your defenses, so that when you did go to Thailand or Bali, you picked up a parasite, and you needn't have even gone overseas to get the parasites? That's just a classic example. So don't be thinking, I've never traveled there, I've never been out the country. You can still have parasites because your local server at the restaurant might have been to those places, preparing your food, not washed his hands after going to the bathroom, and that's where you can pick up parasites. So we get them from the soil. We are animals at the end of the day. So I would say parasites is a deeper root cause, but don't be coming at me like, that isn't still a root cause. We have to go back further. Stress is often involved in all of these different things. Stress can be linked to every symptom, and it can be a trigger and a driver of every condition out there. So obviously it ties in, and there's never just one thing. People usually have multiple different factors, but I would say parasites are a big one. Symptoms can include typical digestive issues, chronic skin rashes, Even things like dairy allergies, dairy sensitivities, anal itching, bloating. It can cause a lot of neurological issues like headaches. Around the time that I'm recording this, it's the start of September, but there's actually been a thing in the news, the media, the past week on a woman who went to the doctor with, I think, body pains to begin with, but then headaches and fatigue and bloating. And she had an MRI and it showed some sort of cyst lesion in her brain. So they operated on it and they actually found a huge, I think it was a, not a hookworm, like a, I can't remember the name, roundworm in her brain. And they're like, oh my God, parasites are around us. And I'm like, yeah, of course. It's just that we don't do brain surgeries on people commonly and looking for these things. And that was a very obvious example, but of course parasites can live throughout the body. They're not just localized to the digestive tract. Same with other problems. Things don't just occur in the vaginal tract or in the respiratory tract. They affect the system as a whole. So parasites, those are the most common symptoms I would see, especially if things get worse around the full moon, especially if you do have a history or past exposure to food poisoning, or you've even eaten a lot of sushi, you eat a lot of pork, that can be quite contaminated, especially if it's uncooked. If you are in nature quite a lot, if you go wild swimming, if you get your feet in the dirt and in the earth, if you've got pets, these are other risk factors. And then another chronic infection is the whole Lyme and co-infection category. So Lyme is Lyme disease, also known as Borrelia. So Borrelia burgdorferi is a bacteria, and this can affect the blood, and it can be very sneaky and can manifest as so many different conditions. Things like MS, chronic fatigue syndrome, fibromyalgia, chronic depression, can be linked to Lyme disease, autoimmune conditions as well. And often alongside Borrelia comes the co-infections. So this is things like Babesia, Bartonella, Ehrlichia. And this is definitely not somewhere to start if you're brand new. Maybe parasites are, they often go hand in hand too. But if you are very, very sick, complex case, all of that, you definitely want to consider Lyme. That was something that was picked up on my testing and was affecting me because it was suppressing my immune system, but also making my immune system go crazy in other ways. So it was this very confusing pattern. I often find that mold toxicity goes alongside Lyme. That's my next point. That's number two of the root causes of disease, this toxicity piece. So Lyme and co-infections, symptoms of that, going to see stubborn symptoms, chronic fatigue, migrating joint pain is one with this. So that means that it moves around the body. When you have something like arthritis, it typically affects the same joints and either one or both sides, depending on what type of arthritis, whether it's osteo, rheumatoid, whether there's any previous structural issues, if you have got a lot of wear and tear in your joints. Whereas joint pain from Lyme, it can come earlier in life. So it's not that you are 80 years old and there's a normal amount of joint pain that you're going to have. It's when you're 20, 30, 40, 50, and it's migrating. So it's starting in the knees, maybe the next day it's in your shoulder, maybe the next day it's in your hips. And it can go alongside things like fatigue, a lot of brain fog, a lot of neurological issues, nerve issues, headaches, migraines, skin rashes, hives, autoimmunity, sensitivities. It can make you very sensitive. That's how it was manifesting in my body. But there is this big connection with mold and that one. So that would be my top number one point, is look into chronic infections. You can do blood tests for Lyme co-infections. With parasites, there's no gold standard 100% accurate test. That's the problem. And I've had people do stool tests before. I've already been convinced that they have parasites because of their symptoms. So I've started them on a parasite cleanse, but we've done a stool test at the same time just because they want to, just for peace of mind. And the stool test comes back on a Monday showing nothing, no parasites. They are testing 6 out of potentially 1,000. So that's another reason that it can show negative, because they're just not looking comprehensively enough. But I've already got them started on a parasite cleanse in the weeks leading up to the results, and they're already passing parasites and they can visibly see them. So if that's not proof, I don't know what is. Number two, I mentioned this toxicity piece when it comes to root causes of disease or this common hidden form of stress in the body. Mold is a huge one, but I'm also talking about heavy metals here and glyphosate. So glyphosate is a common pesticide that's sprayed on foods. It might also be called Roundup, if you've heard of that before. There are actually court cases and people like companies, Monsanto being the main one, being sued, I think for millions, or I don't know if it was a billion, maybe, yeah, definitely millions of dollars, because there's these groundskeepers in the US who are using it to keep the schools' lawns and everything tidy in the gardens, and they're spraying that all day, every day, and they're convinced that that's what's caused the non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, and they've actually been paid out, and they actually won the case because it's been proven that it does cause cancer, but we don't hear this. And you don't have to be spraying it in a farming field every day to be exposed. We're getting this from our food if it's non-organic. This is why I'm such a big advocate of organic food whenever possible. I do wish all food was organic, and that is just what standard is. That's how it used to be. But unfortunately now we have to pay a premium to get clean, real food. And the stuff that we get easily and for cheaper has lingering residue of pesticides on there. You can soak it, you can Google how to like reduce pesticides, things like bicarb, apple cider vinegar. You can peel vegetables, you can buy the clean 15 as opposed to the dirty dozen. Google all of this for some more information. But long term, maybe when you are spending a little bit less on treatments and therapies and coaches, please prioritize clean food. The foundations of health, I believe, and I've heard this before, I can't remember who from, but she said that clean food, clean air, clean water are the absolute foundations of health. And maybe in the short term, they're not going to cause massive radical improvements, because maybe taking a supplement is more worth your money in the short term, but definitely long term, if you can afford to prioritize it in organic as much as possible, because glyphosate, the way that it works is on bacteria. So it interferes with bacteria and organisms and the different, it's called the Shikimate pathway in the reproductive cycle and all of that. And that's how it affects plants and stops predators and bugs and insects from killing them. That's how a pesticide works. It protects the plant, so to speak, as opposed to natural organic farming methods. They use other insects sometimes. They use other more natural things. And the plant becomes stronger in itself. It produces more antioxidants as a result, because it's forced to defend itself. And those antioxidants are what benefit us as humans. So in terms of a macronutrient, the difference between an organic apple versus a regular apple is going to be similar amount of carbs and sugars and fiber. But in terms of the micronutrient, the organic is absolutely going to be higher with things like polyphenols, because it's not been mollycoddled, it's not been wrapped in cotton wool, and it's had to defend itself as nature intended. So with glyphosate, yeah, we definitely want to look out for it. We can test this with a urine test. So Great Plains Labs, which are now known as Mosaic Diagnostics. I'm pretty sure that's a recent change of name, but they do a urine test. They do a whole toxicity panel with other things, but they do a glyphosate add-on with things like an organic acid test. You can check for glyphosate too. And pretty much everyone's test that I've ever seen has some on there, and pretty significant levels too. There have been studies, I think it was a few decades ago now, but a family, I think in Sweden, they went fully organic for a week or two, and they had the toxicity levels tested before and after, and they had quite a significant reduction within a couple of weeks. So it may take time to fully get all of that stuff out. We are all in some degree ongoingly exposed, because if we don't eat organic at home, if we go to a restaurant, they're probably not going to be serving organic and using coconut oil to fry in. But if we can do the best that we can most of the time, this is where we get all of the benefits, because we can't be perfect. But if 90% of the time at home, we're doing the best that we can, we've got our air filters going, we eat organic and clean, we take our supplements, then that means that when we do go on holiday, we do travel, we go into the city, it's not as problematic as just not doing anything. symptoms for glyphosate. And I was talking about the reason that it works is that it works on the shikimate pathway in organisms. And Monsanto claim that it doesn't affect humans because we aren't insects. But if we think of our gut bacteria, they also run off this shikimate pathway, and all of the bacteria in our body do as well. So it may be not affecting human cells, but it is affecting bacterial cells, and we are made of primarily bacteria. We are more bacterial than we are human in terms of cell count. I think for every one human cell, there's four bacterial cells. So they're in us, they're on us, and they contribute to our health and our immune system. So that's the problem that it's causing, is that it's being detrimental to our gut health, and it's acting similar to low-dose antibiotics. Just every day, we're getting a little dose of antibiotics with our vegetables. We're trying to be healthy, and I'd rather you eat non-organic vegetables than none at all. Same with meat. But we just have to think of the overall exposure over time combined with other toxins that we don't have 100% control over. It's just a little bit of this, a little bit of that. Over 10 years, the study that they've done might have been on 5 years that it's completely safe, but what about 40 years later when we've had all of these things for a long period of time? Is this where a lot of chronic health issues come in? My guess is yes. And then the other two in the toxicity category that I want to talk about are heavy metals and mold. These can cause similar symptoms as well. With heavy metals, there can be more fatigue, there can be neurological issues, there can be digestive issues, can be linked to autoimmune, can be linked to nerve pains. What else? Yeah, they're the main ones, but there's so many others. Like certain heavy metals are linked to thyroid conditions. And with mold, there are a few more telltale signs with this one. So you can have a lot of static shocks. You can have issues with sleep. So people with chronic insomnia can often have issues with mold. You can have like a crawling sensation on your body. You can have sinus issues, asthma, respiratory issues. You can have skin rashes. Brain fog, fatigue are the big ones. You can have joint pain that's just general, and just this heaviness and sluggishness in the body. Sensitivity to light, it can make you very chemically sensitive. I've done a lot of podcast episodes on mold because it was such a significant factor for me, as are all of these, but mold was the biggest one. Probably followed by parasites, probably followed by, say, like nutrient deficiencies, I'd say are the next one, like mineral imbalances and nutrient deficiencies, which we're going to come on to. So the thing is with mold is that not all mold is bad. Mold outside where it should be is fine. Whereas mold in our living situation, indoors, when it is like certain types of mold as well, and if there's been water damage and if they're feeding on the building materials, this is where it becomes a problem and it's unnatural. And there's 25% of the population that have genetics that make them more susceptible to mold. I do find they cross over quite a lot with the same genes that lead to autoimmunity. So they're called HLA genes. They can also code for gluten intolerance and celiac. And we just tend to be more reactive and sensitive people in general. I'm definitely one of them. And I don't need a lab test to tell me that, but I have had my HLA genes tested and I do have them. And that's how it can be that there's a family and only one of them is sick. It's usually the woman, unfortunately, but she's the one with all of the health issues. Everyone else in the house is fine. The kids are fine. The husband thinks she's going crazy because she has all of these symptoms. She's claiming it's the mold, but it's completely invisible, doesn't smell. They have no history of water damage or exposure, but it can still be there. And that's the scary thing. It can be hidden. It is majority of the time. But if you are seeing signs of high humidity, so if your windows are all foggy and have condensation on every morning, if you have a dehumidifier on and it's pulling a lot of water out of the air, if you dry your washing inside, if you have damp patches on the wall, if you have visible mold, if you have like wet carpets, if you've ever had a leak or a flood or a burst pipe, or you know that previous tenants or homeowners have, there are just so many signs. And again, I have more episodes and I actually have a full mold course. It's called the Mold Recovery Course. That's got all of this and how to heal from mold exposure. So I'll put that in the episode show notes. But it can be so sneaky. It's another one like Lyme. They're known as the great mimickers. And this is how it can cause so many issues. I do believe that even my PCOS, polycystic ovarian syndrome, was caused by mold. And you wouldn't see that anywhere in the literature, but it just makes so much sense. Mold caused a lot of inflammation, it caused a lot of stress, and it caused my metabolism and my liver and my complete hormone system to be messed up. And for me, that manifested as PCOS. For someone else, it might manifest as endometriosis, depression, brain fog, all of the common offenders that I've mentioned today. But yeah, definitely fatigue, brain fog, and chronic sensitivities to food and chemicals would be top suspicions. I'd be waving my red flag. So with testing mold, you can test your home and you can test your body. I go more into this and allow you to buy a test through me through the mold course. But the body test is from Mosaic Diagnostics. Again, it's a urine test. The home test is from a company called Immunolytics. It's a mold plate test, which also has its drawbacks, and there's no perfect test out there, but I think it just gives good insight. You can even get mold like damp meters. So you can buy them off Amazon, and it's like a little radar. You can just stick the little pin near your wall or in your wall, and it will show you how much moisture is in there. So I find that they're pretty accurate. And solutions for these two, with heavy metals, you want to try and limit the exposure as much as possible. Some of them, I love how all of these tie together, but some of the heavy metals can be coming from dental stuff, which is the next point. It can be coming from contaminated foods, contaminated water, air pollution. It can be coming from the type of work that you do. If you work with cars, if you work with, I don't know, like I have a client who works with clocks and she's exposed to some sort of, I don't know if it's mercury or some other thing. If you work in dentistry, you might be being exposed unknowingly. And then with mold treatment, you also want to try and avoid the exposure as much as possible, which is easier said than done. But you can also support your body's detoxification, so allowing it to kind of flush through the body instead of just staying stagnant and making you really sick. You want to make sure that you're not constipated, that your liver, your gallbladder, your bile is moving, your kidneys are supported. You want to do things like binders, air filters, dehumidifiers. You want to spend as much time as you can outdoors. You want to work on the limbic system rewiring, because when you've been exposed to mold and things like Lyme and just chronic trauma in general, your body can go into what's known as the cell danger response, where even if you remove the trigger, you're still symptomatic, you're still struggling because your body thinks that the threat is still there. So doing limbic system and nervous system rewiring, you can do vagal nerve support. I touch on this in the mold course briefly, but there are further courses as well that can help you, like primal trust, to really shift that body out of fight and flight, sympathetic, I'm going to die mode, to rest, digest, heal state, which is where you do need to be in order to heal. Did you know that indoor air is typically more polluted and harmful than outdoor air? I wasn't really aware of the harmful effects of poor air quality until I found out that I was unknowingly being exposed to toxic mold that was making me really sick. Now I really prioritize what I think are the foundations to health: clean food, clean water, and clean air. It's not just mold that we need to be mindful of in our homes, it's the flame retardants and VOCs off-gassing from furniture, airborne parasites, pollen, dust mites, and bacteria. One of the best investments that you can make with your health is getting a high quality air filter that is strong enough to filter these things out and clean the air properly. Otherwise, it's going to be our lungs filtering that stuff. Not all air filters are created equal though. So I wanted to share with you my favorite brand, the Air Doctor, or if you're in the UK, the Amazing Air. I keep this powerful filter running 24/7 to give me peace of mind that the air that I'm breathing is safe and supportive to my health. Check the show notes for links to save £200 on the Amazing Air 3000 and up to $300 off the different Air Doctor models. I just know that you're going to love it as much as I do. Okay, let's get back into the show. Point three, in terms of the root causes of disease, is hidden dental issues. This can be hidden infections. So certain bacteria that live in the mouth, it is a two-way street from the gut to the mouth and the other way around too. So if you have imbalances in your gut, you've probably got imbalances in your mouth. A common example is H. pylori, Helicobacter pylori. It does live in the stomach, but you also produce things like saliva, which can hold H. pylori as well. So if that's a really stubborn infection and you haven't addressed the oral piece, that may be why. With every client going through a gut protocol, at one time or another, I am going to give them tips to help with their oral health. So switching up the toothpaste, some people need to go on a biofilm disrupting toothpaste to really clear out chronic infections, do things like tongue scraping, flossing, water pick, rinsing your mouth with water after every meal to start to shift that microbiome, because all our microbiomes are interconnected. These rainforests of bacteria doesn't just live in the intestines, it lives in the vaginal tract, the bladder, the skin, and the mouth. So we can't just locally treat one of them. There are special things that we can do in each one, maybe vaginal probiotics, maybe topical skincare tips, maybe oil pulling and all of that in the mouth, but it comes back to the gut a lot of the time, and working on that. So you might have hidden infections in your mouth, which can come just like other infections come. I had a wisdom tooth infection last year, I think like this month last year, and it was honestly awful. It was that my wisdom teeth, for a few years now, they've kind of been coming up and down and they've never caused me problems. Once someone, a dentist, recommended that I had them out, but I just felt like, no, I'm not doing that. It's not necessary. And she was trying to push me. And I think her saying that I needed to be on antibiotics afterwards or before preventatively, I can't remember, that really made me like, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm not taking antibiotics for no reason, just in case I get an infection. The teeth don't even need to come out. And I think one day my wisdom tooth was like poking through and a raspberry seed got into the skin and it caused an infection. And it was so bad, I couldn't even open my mouth. I couldn't eat. Just severe pain, which homeopathy ended up clearing. I have an episode on that from last year, so you can go back and listen. But that was an infection in my mouth. And sometimes if that doesn't fully heal, it can just linger and not cause as many obvious symptoms, but just make it so that over time you don't feel as good. It's just another thing draining a battery. Imagine having 100 tabs open on your iPhone or your desktop, which is like me. My boyfriend Luke would be laughing. He's like, yeah, that's exactly what you do. But it just drains your battery and it means that you're not living up to your full potential because there's something just robbing your energy constantly. Another thing is if you've had teeth removed, previous extraction sites, they can be prone to infections and imbalances afterwards. I think the name of the condition is called dry socket, where people run into issues after having their teeth removed. But I think it's much, much more than that. I think there's many more problems. And it may not cause the obvious dental symptoms and oral health issues. You might not have bad breath. You might not have bleeding gums, but these are classic signs. So if you have any of those things, wobbly teeth, easily bleeding gums, teeth discoloration, bad breath, you probably have some dental issues going on. But even if not, it's like people with digestive issues, they might not have bloated and IBS. Their symptom might be their skin is really bad. So someone with oral health issues, they might have cardiovascular issues or chronic inflammatory markers being elevated or autoimmune thyroid conditions. Just because you don't have a symptom in that place doesn't mean that that's not a problem. That's a big takeaway from today. Another issue with the dental component is metal fillings, amalgam fillings, or just metal in your mouth in general. I also did an episode, I feel like I've just documented everything that I've tried or everything that's benefited me or a breakthrough moment on this podcast. Yeah, plenty of episodes to go back to, but I remember sharing how after having braces on for 2 years, well, 2.5 years, the full train track metal ones a few years ago, I think I got them in 2019. That's when, after removing them, because I'd done my time and my teeth were straight, I noticed that my histamine reactions significantly lowered after doing that. And it's because my body was already in this more sensitive place. I was already prone to being reactive because of my exposure to mold previously. It just made my immune system go a little bit crazy for a while. I was reacting to all sorts of foods and chemicals, but even metals. So I had this metal in my mouth every day that my body was reacting to. And it's also like an antenna for EMFs, 5G, Bluetooth. So if I work online all day, I've got metal in my mouth. It's similar to underwire bras. If you're wearing an underwire bra still, please swap that out. I shared on my stories a while ago people's recommendations because I have small boobs, so I've never needed a wired bra. But people were saying, what do I do instead? So I did on my Instagram share, I think it's on the Q&A section of my highlights, some good bra recommendations if you are interested in that. But the metal, it kind of absorbs the electricity and the Bluetooth and the frequencies and can just make your body more vulnerable to that. So if you have any like wires in your mouth, some people after braces have just a wire at the back of their teeth to keep them in place. I prefer to go with the plastic retainers, which aren't perfect, and they do get a little bit mingling with cleaning, but I just use Retainer Bright, which is packed with chemicals, but if I rinse it off well, Cassie, my friend, she was the one who put me onto this because yeah, I couldn't clean them properly with regular natural holistic things. So Retainer Bright is a godsend. I'll rinse it completely before I use it, but it keeps them spick and span. And metal fillings are a huge one. They're called amalgam fillings. That means an amalgam, a mixture of metals that they put into teeth. They used to do it way more frequently. My mum and dad, they never had any teeth issue, any dental issues, but they said in the 60s or 70s, the dentist nearby, he just put metal fillings in loads of children's teeth as a preventative, which is just insane. And my dad still got all of his fillings, whereas my mum had hers removed a few years ago because she was dealing with autoimmunity, and having those removed dropped her thyroid antibodies by around 100 points over the next year. We did that pretty controlled, so we know it was definitely that. She didn't do anything else too crazy. The other thing that brought her antibodies down was going gluten-free, if you were interested. They're still not zero. I think there's some lingering mold that hasn't been dealt with, but it's improved from where it was. So you might have obvious dental issues, as I said, but imbalances in the mouth can be linked to fertility issues and also cardiovascular issues. That's been shown in the research and science now. And it's because your mouth is a very vascular area. That's why they give certain medications in the mouth. You can rub it in your gums or even drugs. And it goes straight into the bloodstream. It doesn't even need to go through the digestive system. So that's why it can cause a lot of issues. Because if you've got an infection in your mouth or a lot of toxicity, it's straight into the bloodstream and it doesn't even go through your defense system first. So that's why it can cause a lot of cardiovascular issues as well. It's straight into the circulatory system and it can affect the heart over time. And another one with the dental, very last thing, is a root canal procedure. Some people have had root canals in the past. I don't know if they're called something different in the UK. Please let me know if so. I should have looked into this, but there's certain documentaries on this. I think it's called the Root Cause, which is very fitting to this episode. But if you want to learn a little bit more about root canals and the dangers, sometimes it is necessary. I'm not a dentist and don't have major experience in dentistry, but from what I've heard, sometimes it is necessary and it can be done safely. If it's like fully cleaned and it repairs well and all of that. But basically with a root canal, there's dead tissue, there's a dead tooth still left in. And I think they just kind of do something with the nerve, like cut the nerve connection. But sometimes it is more beneficial to actually have the tooth fully removed, which if it's one of your front teeth, you're probably not going to want to do that. Whereas if it's one of the back teeth and it is causing problems, a holistic or biological dentist can help you to investigate this. So I'm going to move on to the next point. If you have any questions, please contact a holistic or biological dentist. There is a great one on Instagram called Ask the Dentist, and he on his website has a little search tool where you can find one near you. But the best one, one of the best ones in the UK that I know, is Coach Royd Dental, and that's Dr. Seb Lomas, I think, and his team in that clinic. It's in Huddersfield in the north, if you were interested. Point number four, the root causes of disease and hidden stress, is chronic stress and trauma. So I told you that all of these can cause stress and be linked to stress. And even with the dental connection, someone with braces might be absolutely fine, but if they've had major stress recently, it might be the straw that breaks the camel's back, overflows the inflammatory bucket, so to speak, and causes issues. So it usually comes back to stress in every single situation. There are, in Chinese medicine, different meridians and different chakra systems that can be linked to certain conditions. So stress regarding your sexuality, your finances, your feelings of security, your connection to the feminine and your mother can be linked to sacral chakra imbalances, which is in the pelvic area. People with a lot of uncertainty, a lot of worry, a lot of guilt, a lot of instability in their lives. So if they've moved around a lot, if they don't have a secure job or home, can affect the gut. So these are just some examples. You can look more into that. Thyroid issues can be linked to not speaking your truth, not asking for what you need, not standing up for yourself. So it's that whole voice, throat chakra connection. So chronic stress is a huge problem, and we're living in a world where this is another one that's kind of unavoidable. There are so many things that you can do to mitigate that, and the goal isn't to not have any stress. That's not realistic, and that's not the goal. We've evolved as humans to where we are today through a ton of stress, and some of it a lot worse than it is now. That was life-threatening stress a lot of the time. Famine, being chased by saber-toothed tigers, having to fight for camps, all of that. We've survived that and we came out stronger and better. But now stress is just low grade, not as life-threatening for most people, but it's social media, it's Wi-Fi, it's pollution, it's a job that we don't like, we're not feeling fulfilled, we're comparing ourselves on social media, we are in toxic relationships, we have imbalanced circadian rhythms because we're not getting out into nature anymore. These are the stressors, and there's a lot more of them, and it causes a lot of issues. So stress can weaken your immune system. And if you Google adrenal symptoms, then this is probably the main thing that it's going to manifest as, but it can cause every condition that I can name. Stress can worsen all of them. So classic adrenal symptoms, your adrenal glands are your stress glands. They sit on top of your kidneys. They produce cortisol and adrenaline and some other things like androgens and some testosterone. But you might have issues with your energy. You might just struggle to get out of bed in the morning. You might be wired and tired at night. So really overtired, but can't get to sleep. You might get a second wind of energy at night. Just before you went to go to bed, you feel like cleaning the house. You might have a 3 to 4 p.m. slump. You might have dizziness upon standing. You might feel like you have palpitations. You're very reactive. Someone scares you and you feel like you're going to have a heart attack, or the phone rings, someone knocks at the doors and you're jumping out your skin. That can be adrenal stuff. Sleep issues. You can't get to sleep. You're waking up multiple times. Your blood sugar's all over the place. You feel depressed. You feel like you're procrastinating. You're anxious. You just have this cloud over you. They are some of the main adrenal-based symptoms and signs of chronic stress. And then with trauma, this is a whole category within itself. I have an episode with Nikki Graptrix on trauma. I think it's between like episode 50 and 100, so I'll just search her name. I'll link it in the show notes, actually, to this episode, because it's such a good one. It covers what she means by trauma, and what is meant by trauma, because there's little T trauma and there's big T trauma. People usually go straight to the big T trauma and they think, I don't have anything like that ever in my life, so I'm not stressed. I don't have trauma, because they haven't been abused or neglected or raped or witnessed a murder or anything like that. But little t trauma can be being bullied as a child or being from a divorced family, divorced parents. Could be growing up with a mom with anxiety or depression or a dad with alcohol issues. It could be feeling lonely or being made fun of once at school because you got an answer wrong. That is little t trauma. And especially under the age of 7, it's quite significant because then that can affect the subconscious mind and it can still impact us now as adults. It can change our stress resilience, and it can make us more susceptible to stress. So in terms of trauma, that episode goes more into what I mean by trauma and a lot of solutions. So I'm a big fan of somatic work. A group program that I'm going to do in October is going to be all on, not on trauma healing, so I don't want to say that and claim that, but most people have trauma, and I've managed to help so many of my clients overcome their health issues and therefore be able to rewire their mind, reprogram their subconscious, and just improve their mindset and their optimism in general. So the group program, just a little interjection here, is going to be in October. The first live call is going to be on the 18th. I'm looking for 10 ladies who are going to join me on this 6-week journey. And we're going to be talking all about the physical and energetic, emotional, spiritual side of things when it comes to women's health, hormone balancing. And you'll really get so much education and information, a chance to have a one-to-one call with me that I can help you rewire some of those beliefs and release some of that negativity and that blocked energy out of the body, and practice some of the tools that I've been learning in my certification recently. So very excited for that. If you're interested, please let me know. I am saying, if you are interested, send me a DM on Instagram and at Viva Natural Health, and there'll be more information to come. But if you're like, yeah, that sounds good, just from what I've told you today, you can sign up right now and claim your space, because there's only limited availability for this initial round. It's going to be a beta test round, kind of like a practice round, just to make sure all of the information flows well. And just based on your feedback, I want to improve things even more so that I can release it again as a more regular thing in 2024. So if you don't mind it, don't mind providing feedback at the end for a lower cost option, and you want to end the year, you want to end 2023 on a high and having made some changes, investing in your physical body and your mental health, then I would love to have you. Please send me a message. And this is available to any woman, wherever you are in the world. I just want to review, make sure it was a good fit beforehand. But yeah, I would love to have you if you're interested. The fifth and final root cause of disease and chronic stress, in my opinion, is nutrient deficiencies and / mineral imbalances. They often go together. And I once heard, I think it was someone talking about cancer, and they said cancer is either a state of toxicity or deficiency. But I feel like that could be linked to any condition. There's going to be some sort of toxicity with metals and molds and glyphosate and parabens and pollutants, but also a state of deficiency at the same time. Or maybe one or the other, but usually both. So with nutrient deficiencies / mineral imbalances, we can acquire these for a number of reasons. The fact that food is just so depleted these days is probably the number one thing. And most people listening to this are already going to be eating a healthy diet. I'm not probably talking to someone who's still eating McDonald's frequently and is eating like frozen meals and microwave meals every day of the week. You're probably making an effort, not perfect, but trying your best. But even with the best diet in the world, you're still not going to be getting all of the nutrients that you need, unfortunately, because of soil depletion, which is very sad. There's been these comparisons where they've tested nutrients in an apple or orange now versus 50 years ago, and it's just insane. We'd need like a bag or two of oranges to get the same vitamin C and other nutrients and antioxidants as we did 50 years ago because of pesticides, because of farming methods, because the soil is just so overworked, and we're flying things in from halfway across the world these days. We're not eating seasonally or locally anymore, or I would hope that you are. I try to do my best with that. But as soon as something is picked or harvested, it starts to lose nutrients. So if you're eating bananas in the middle of winter in England, and they've been flown in from wherever, Costa Rica, even though it's a healthier choice than a chocolate bar, it's not got all of the nutrients that you would expect to, unfortunately. Then things like medication affect our nutrients and cause mineral imbalances. The birth control pill is a huge one that most of you have probably had some experience with. Synthetic birth control, synthetic hormones, the pill, the patch, the injection, the IUD, whichever one, they're all as bad as each other, to be honest. Even the non-hormonal one, like the copper IUD, that is directly causing mineral imbalances because it has copper in there in isolation. And copper and zinc and other minerals work together synergistically, or should do. So medications like antidepressants, pain relieving medications, stomach acid blockers, PPIs, and omeprazole, lansoprazole, all of that, that works in a bit of a different way. It doesn't directly deplete the nutrients like the birth control pill does, but it affects your absorption of them. So that category has been linked to things like B12 deficiency and a lot of neurological disorders in later years, like Alzheimer's. It does increase your risk of that. It does affect things like bone health long term, because you need minerals and strong stomach acid to have good bone health in the long run. And then stress. Surprise, surprise. Stress is a huge depleter of minerals and nutrients. It causes mineral imbalances. And in terms of symptoms, I would start by looking at your hair, skin, and nails. Because if those things have problems, if you have dry, brittle hair, your hair's falling out, it's graying prematurely, your nails are really ridged and weak, they snap and bend really easily, they have white spots on there. If your tongue is very coated, it has a lot of cracks, if your skin has a lot of breakouts and rashes, then you probably have mineral deficiencies and nutrient imbalances, because that is like the lowest priority for the body. So if you have a limited amount of nutrition every day, your body will not put that to glowing skin and a head full of luscious locks. It will put it to keeping your heart pumping, keeping your liver filtering, keeping your lungs breathing. And that is a classic sign. So if you see that you have problems in those areas, then that's a sign that your body doesn't have enough to go around and it's already limited. So you definitely need to up your levels. It can link to other things as well. Like you need magnesium to produce energy. So if you're deficient, then you probably have fatigue. You need minerals like zinc to have a strong immune system, strong stomach acid. So if you're deficient, you might have signs of low stomach acid, digestive issues, and frequent infections. If you have a selenium deficiency, you might have issues with your metabolism and thyroid, because selenium is involved in T4 to T3 conversion and protecting the thyroid gland from damage. So you might have weight gain, you might have fatigue, you might have depression, you might feel cold all the time because of a selenium/thyroid issue. Okay, my voice is starting to break. So testing for nutrient deficiencies, I prefer to start with mineral imbalances because that's a bit easier to test. And it's a low invasive test, low cost. It's a hair sample, the test that I use. This is good for every mineral apart from iron. Iron is best tested through blood, as are some other nutrients like vitamin D, B12, although that can also be tested through urine. So minerals are good tested through the hair because they're found inside the cells. Minerals like magnesium aren't just found floating around the bloodstream. So if you test your blood and see, oh, it's normal, that isn't true, because magnesium shouldn't really be found in the bloodstream. It's inside the cell. Your hair is old cells that your body has kind of gotten rid of. So that's why we test like an inch and a half of hair with a HTMA. And that will show me how nourished your body was for the 3 months prior when it was still inside of your body. And that's looking intracellularly. So HTMA is great. I do have a mineral course that I open a few times a year. It's called I'm Balanced. There might be another round of that towards the end of 2023. If not, just because I've got this group program coming up. It might be early 2024. So just stay tuned if you're interested, because in that you get access to a HTMA and I teach you how to interpret your results so that you can balance things naturally, both now and into the future. You can just keep doing a mineral test once or twice a year. And it's low cost. It's less than £100 at the moment. It's £99 to do so. And we want to know exactly which minerals we're imbalanced in before we start supplementing. So instead of just listening to what I say and thinking, great, I'll just take a multivitamin just to get all of my needs, I would not recommend that, because a lot of the multivitamin options are pretty bad and you don't know exactly what your body needs. So it could have too much of one thing and not enough of the thing that you actually do need. And the doses of certain nutrients in a multivitamin is just too low to actually make an impact. So if you have a severe magnesium deficiency and you're just taking a multivitamin and it has a little bit of magnesium in there, it's not really going to do much. And you could actually be making that magnesium deficiency worse if it has some of other nutrients in too high of a dose. It is a balancing act. An organic acid urine test can also be useful with certain nutrients, things like B vitamins, folate. We can look at glutathione and antioxidant status through a urine test. I offer this with my one-to-one clients. And then blood is good for iron, vitamin D. Some of the B vitamins can be useful. So I'll just quickly share how all of these affected me. I've just touched on some as we've gone through, but what I experienced was probably I was in a state of nutrient deficiency to begin with in my late teens, because I wasn't knowledgeable about nutrition. I was just kind of eating the same foods all the time, low quality. And then my body went through a state of stress when I started dieting and overexercising. I was also living in mold at the time, but if my stress levels would have stayed fine and I hadn't gotten digestive issues and stuff later on, I probably wouldn't have had as many symptoms from the mold as I did. I probably could have tolerated a bit better, but so many things happened in a short period of time. It was no wonder that my body freaked out. So I was living in mold. That was affecting my toxicity piece. It was causing nutrient deficiencies. It was causing chronic stress in my body. It was breeding fungal overgrowth internally. It was suppressing my immune system, making me more susceptible to Lyme disease. It was making me more susceptible to parasite infections. I'd also gone on the pill, so that messed up my gut. It was causing further mineral deficiencies, nutrient deficiencies. It was acting like a low-dose antibiotic in my gut, weakening my good bacteria. And I also had a lot of stress because of my symptoms, being a young adult and coming from a teenage, all my teenage years, I didn't have any skin issues. I didn't have any hair issues. I was pretty self-confident. But then I really started to stress my body through over-exercising. I just got caught up in the whole body comparison and social media and comparing myself to like Victoria's Secret models, even though my body shape is not, like, I'm tall, but my body shape isn't the same as theirs. So I fell into that trap and had a lot of symptoms as a result. So then I had the stress and trauma of having chronic illness for years and not being able to live my life to the full and feeling so left behind and like still living at home with my parents and not having a job that I loved at the time. That was all affecting me. And I also had issues around feminine energy. I've spoken about this a few times, but losing my period and being on the pill for a couple of years, that messed it up. Just with the conditioning that I've had passed down to me in terms of periods and sexuality, that also affected me. And then I've had some other stresses in my life that I've had to process and work on. And then more recently, it's been the heavy metal exposure from braces. Although I did have braces when I was 14 as well, so that maybe played into it too. But my body was already so sensitive at this point when I had the braces on for the second time. It didn't cause a massive change of symptoms putting them on, but having them taken off, I was like, wow, I do notice a difference actually. Okay, so just to recap and finish up, the five root causes of disease, in my opinion, are chronic infections, toxicity, hidden dental issues, chronic stress and trauma, and nutrient deficiencies. If you are listening to this now and you're like, where the hell do I start? Then My top recommendation would be my root cause relief package. This would give us the opportunity, me and you, to go deep into all of these things and rule them in or rule them out as being a factor. There is a test included in this package. It's the HTMA, so that final marker of mineral imbalances that I said. We would definitely help to investigate that. But if you want to do more testing or if you feel like it would be valuable, then we have access to the best tests in the world. The urine test, the hormone test, the stool test that I've mentioned today. But sometimes it's not even needed. My experience now and my questioning and how deep we go with your health history, I have a pretty good idea a lot of the time based on your journey as to which one of these is a factor. Like if you got sick after an insect bite, I'm thinking maybe Lyme and co-infections. If you got really sick after having a mouthful of metal fillings put in or after you started work at a moldy dentist office, then I'm like, okay, maybe toxicity is part of this piece too. So my root cause relief package is 6 months of us working together really closely. And that is a really good amount of time to start to get a hold on things, figure out what's going on. I help you identify and address the root causes of your health issues. And if you remember from the start, there's usually more than one. So I'm taking on, I have space from when I'm recording to clients for the rest of the month. So if you're interested, if you want to snag your space, let me know. There is now an application process. So it's up to you. If you want to apply, you fill out a form, just tell me a little bit more about your situation. And then if I feel like I can help you, then we're good to go. If I have a few more questions, if I'm not sure, then I'll be in touch with you. Otherwise, if you have more questions and you're like, I'm not sure, I don't want to like apply because I want to chat a little bit further, then you have the option to do so. The enrollment call is now for a small fee. It used to be free, but a lot of people were just taking the mick, honestly, with booking calls like frequently and just wanting free advice or booking a call and not showing up and wasting my time. So I've had to start charging for them. So apologies if you never like did that, but it's only £40. And if you do sign up after that to the one-to-one package, you do get that deducted from the total price. And there is a payment plan option available for the root cause relief package as well. If paying in full isn't in your ballpark at the moment, there's information on that on my webpage. I'll put that in the episode show notes. And yeah, you can book an enrollment call if you do want to chat further before going ahead. That's absolutely fine. And that's a 30-minute call just for us to connect. And if I don't think I can help you, you'll be refunded and I will try and point you in a different direction. So yeah, just know that it's kind of a guarantee you'll get help, whether it's with me or with someone else. So I hope you enjoyed this episode. I know it's been a information-packed one. You might want to go back several times or listen to me in half speed if needed, but I wish I would have known this right at the start of my healing journey because it would save so much time, because I was just looking at PCOS and SIBO and IBS and anxiety as my problems, when in fact they were symptoms of deeper issues. These are the deep issues that you want to be looking at. If you're doing all of the basics, if you're struggling, please investigate these. Enjoy the rest of your day wherever you're at, and I will see you back here next week for another episode. I really hope you enjoyed this episode. If you did, I would love for you to leave me a rating and review on your podcast app, as this helps to support the show and it allows it to reach more people with this valuable information. Come and say hi over on Instagram. I'm at Viva Natural Health. And if you haven't already, check out my website, vivanaturalhealth.co.uk, for tons more free resources and to discover how I could support you further. I currently offer one-on-one consultation packages if you want my top-level support, then more affordable group programs and self-paced online courses. So there really is something for everyone. Enjoy the rest of your day, and I'll see you back here next week for another episode.